Columbus, Kentucky, September 1975, Gospel by John Lloyd.
I've been coming here for a good many years, as many of you know. I certainly appreciate it. Enjoy it every time you've been here. I spoke to you mostly upon the love of God. I want to tell you about the love of God. But you know, there's two types of the Word of God for the believer. There's two types of the Word of God for the non-believer. For the believer, that which is known as the honey of the Word and the salt of the Word. Well, the honey of it tells us about the coming, Ephesians and others, but James puts a little salt on it, right? So then there's two types of the Word for the unbeliever. One of it is the love of God. That's John 3:16, John 5:24, and so on. Then there's the judgment of God. Both of them, one of them is just as sure as the other, just as important. So tonight, I'm going to speak to you upon the judgments of God. It'll be from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. So I just thought I'd say that before starting. Don't want to take up too much time because I got a clock in front of me and one behind me. I've got no excuse. Let me start by singing hymn number 39. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Come on, start.
Thank you.
will turn to the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Now, of course, this chapter, this portion, been referred to, but just to speak on it alone, very few times have ever spoken on it. But I want to say this before I start. Hell is just as real a place as heaven is. The same book that tells you about one tells you about the other. The same God that made one made the other. One is just as real as the other. 3 years ago, I believe it was, I was in Chicago. My brother Ernie Wakefield had the gospel there one night. And he firmly pointed out that everybody in this room here tonight, either on your way to heaven or on your way to hell. Now, it's not easy to stand up before a group of people and look into the faces I'm looking into you all tonight and to point my finger and make those statements. That's why it's a lot easier to preach to you from John 3:16 than it is from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. But I want to tell you, I believe that a gospel preacher is responsible to preach the gospel. That's right. So I thank God for what he's given me. So you here tonight who are on pray in turn, pray while I speak. Yes. So I'm going to read to you the 16th of Luke. This is not a parable. This is a fact. Right. So I'm going to read you the fact. Get into the 19th verse. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received the good thing, and likewise Lazarus the evil thing. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which we pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. We've got here a picture of two people. That's what it is. That's all God needed, a picture of two people. They're two extremes of what they are. And God has to go on the extremes many times to wake us up and to realize that what's going to take place. Now, I want to say to you, the reason I was saved, and I was past 25 years old when I was saved, you've heard me say before, I thought I was a pretty good fellow. I didn't see nothing much wrong that done. But one day I realized I was a sinner, and on my way to a devil's hell. And I told God, if there's any way in the world that I could miss hell, I wanted to miss it. I didn't want to go down there. Sure didn't. I didn't. And that took about a year to get that straightened out. I was raised in a Christian home. Many of you boys and girls that's in here tonight been raised in a Christian home. That's fine. That's good. That's all. But hell be just as hot for you as it will for anybody else if you go down there. Sure will. So, I come to find out that all I had to do was take the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and I'd miss hell. And I want to tell you, I took Jesus purely for a fire escape. That's right. And I want to tell you in here tonight, if you don't take him for the fire escape, you won't escape the fire. He is the only escape from the fire. Or as you've heard me say here before, or it's been some time ago, I come down out of the jail, someone was with me. And as I come down, this man was talking to the people over the counter. He didn't know who I was. He didn't see me, I don't suppose. But as I passed right by him, his close quarters, I passed by him. He said, well, I haven't got much opinion of these folks that take Jesus just for a fire escape. Well, I started out the door and I pushed it back. I went back and I touched this fellow on the shoulder. I said, say, friend, I heard what you said there just a moment ago. I said, here's one right here that took Jesus to the fire escape. And I took him another 40 years ago. And oh, I pray to God that every man in this jailhouse would take him as a fire escape. Every man in Rome. And I tell you, if you don't take him, you won't escape the fire. Yes, you will. So that's what it is here. This, we've got the fire before we here tonight. The most destructive thing that you can think of is fire. I could go on the balance of my time and tell you about people I've seen that's got into the fire. But here's two people now. Here's two people. And they're just as much people as you and I are. Sure. Only just lived in a different time. That's all. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There's a lot of people like that today. Like that today. There's nothing wrong with that. Not a thing wrong with that. Not at all. Oh, if you're able to afford it. But don't leave God out. Don't leave God out. So, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed for the crumb that fell from the rich man's table. We don't know that he ever got one of the crumbs, do we? We don't know that he got it. No, we don't. No. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Well, I hear when these two people were put on an absolute equal. I want to tell you right now, death puts you, every one of you, on an absolute equal. Although you're not fit for nothing to be dug, a hole dug in the ground be buried. That's right. That's what the world does to you. That's what people do to you. Don't care who you are, they bury you. Sure do. That's all you're fit for, is to bury. When I went to school, they taught in science or something else that the human body was worth $1.95 for agricultural land. That's what it was. The land in the body was $1.95. Might be worth $2.50 now, I guess, but that's about all. So you sure ain't worth much when you're dead, are you? Sure ain't. Neither one of these men were worth any more than the other when he's dead. Not at all. One might have a greater name than another. But here's what takes place. Death does something to you. It fixes your destiny for an eternity. It fixes your destiny for an eternity. There's nothing you can do. You can talk to a dead person all you want to. He's dead, he's dead. Can't change him at all. That's why I'm right here tonight talking to you people. There ain't any dead people in this room at all here tonight. Every one of you are alive in here. And you're going to leave here one of these days if the Lord doesn't come. And if he comes, you're going to leave too, I hope. If you're saved, you will. And if you're not saved, you're just as good as in hell already. You say, huh? That's right. You read the 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter of it, you'll find it is. God sent a strong delusion that you all rightfully will lie me down. Believe not the truth. That's what you got here tonight. I read to you. This is the word of God, what I read to you here tonight. Sure is. Are you going to believe it? So, they both. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. I'm not going to talk about the burials at all. They both died. That's the question about it. I don't think they both died the same day by any means. Might have been a year apart, 2 years apart. I don't know how long they were apart. But the fact is they died. They died. Oh, I heard a man one time get back in the Old Testament, and he read about those old prophets back then, those people that lived 600, 700, 800, 900 years. But they all died. That's what's going to happen to me if the Lord doesn't come. You're right. I'm going somewhere. Where am I going? I never go to a funeral. Never preach the funeral. But what I looked over in that casket, there's one question comes to my mind. Where is the soul? Where is it now? No changing. All that a preacher could stand up and say for hours at a time doesn't change it one bit in the world. Makes no difference how many flowers they got hanging on the wall and all of that. Can't change it at all. It's all gone. Yes. So they died. They died. Now here comes about the change now. This was a drastic change took place here. And there can be a drastic change took place in your life too. Yeah. Sure can. What would the change be if you were to die tonight? Ask your soul that question. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, how I thank God for the grace of God that lingered with me those many years till I took Jesus as Savior. Well, I want to tell you a little experience, not an experience. I took a deadly tourmaline poison once, and I just got plumb passed out. I was only 16 years old, and the doctor was giving me an injection. And I wouldn't speak to her, or so far, I heard a word they said. But I didn't react to them. And they said to my daddy, right at the foot of the bed there, there's three doctors standing there, said, Will, if he's alive in the morning, he'll be alive to live. Oh, yes. What if I hadn't have been alive that next morning? Where would I be right now? I'd be in hell is where I'd have been. But I hadn't took Jesus as Savior. Not at all. Now this rich man's not in hell because he was rich. Not at all. Neither Lazarus in glory because in Abraham's bosom because he was poor. Not at all. Well, what makes the difference? God made the difference. They knew God. That's the difference. One knew him and the other didn't. You don't go to be with him without knowing him. If you don't know him down here, you sure ain't going to know him up there. That's for a saint. Sure is. Oh, yes. You try to talk to some people now about the Lord. They haven't got time. Don't talk to you. Don't talk to them. But they expect them to die to go to heaven. Sure do. So he said. Now, we get to verse 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Oh, yes, different now. He's in torment. 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 Just let that think for a little bit over. Torment. What in the world could that be? What could that be? That could be anything except pleasure, couldn't it? Could be anything except comfort, wouldn't it? Sure. All we know, you can go back into Matthew and other places where the worm dies not. That's right. That's right. Fire is not quenched. Yeah, it's torment. Day and night. Day and night. No end to it. Not at all. Whenever you go out of this scene, you go into eternity. You don't go into another scene. You're in one now and one only one you'll ever be in. You go into eternity. Are you going to be with the Lord? Are you going to be with the devil and his angels? Now, I said a few moments ago that God made hell. Sure did. I don't believe there's anyone in this room who would raise a hand and say God didn't make it. Sure did. God prepared it for the devil and his angels. He didn't prepare it for man. He didn't prepare it for you. God has prepared a way that you might escape going to hell. That's right. And I found that out. I found that out. Yes. Now I want to say to you, knowing what to do to be saved will not save you. Will not save you. Oh, I'm going to say that again. There may be some young boys or young girls in this room that could tell you how to be saved as good as I could or some of these other brothers could. All they have to do is repeat Acts 16:31. So, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I could tell you that a long time before I was saved.
That didn't save you.
No, it didn't. No, sir. These fellows up there that I go to see every Friday night in that jail knew what to do to stay out of there, but they didn't do it. They're there just the same. There are going to be millions of people in hell that knew what to do to stay out of there, but they didn't do it. They didn't do it. It's acting upon what you know to do. It's going to save you. Yes. Oh, I'll tell you, boys and girls, don't put it off. Don't put it off, because there'll be one moment too late. Those in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the blessed Savior is coming for his own. All those that have received him as Savior. And if you're left behind, you are left behind. That's right. Absolutely. No way for you to ever be saved. But God's going to send a strong delusion that you all might believe a lie and be damned, as I said a moment ago. Oh, that's awful. That's awful. God's not sending a strong delusion. As a brother prayed in the prayer meeting that night, that God sent a double dose to the Spirit here tonight. Oh, I thank him for that. Sure did. Think of that. That's what God is sending. Not a delusion, but a reality. The Spirit of God to speak to your heart and soul here tonight. Oh, yes. So, now, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Well, I want to tell you right now, whenever you go past the cross of Calvary, there's no mercy for you. The mercy is found at the cross of Calvary. That's where it's found. That's right. The blood was shed at the cross of Calvary. The blood is what's the mercy. Yes, sir. Whenever you go beyond that, there's no mercy. As a fellow said to me in the jail here, it's a good while ago, but where is hell? I don't know. I knew from the tone of his voice that he was wanting to know geographically. Now, he was a tall fellow and he was well educated. They get in jail too. So when he said to me that, I told him I didn't know. Then he began to murmur and said, you're a fine fella. Come up to him and tell people about trying to stay out of hell. They're going to hell and you don't even know where hell is. So I didn't come up here to talk to you. I come up to talk to all of them. If you want some questions, I'll ask them when I get through. But he kept on talking. I stopped and said, you really want to know where hell is? He said, yes, yes. He did that. Yeah. I said, it's the end of a Christless life. You go beyond the cross of Christ, and there's where hell will be. And that's where it is. End of a Christless life. Makes no difference how good a boy, how good a girl, how good a man, how good a woman you've been. That's fine. That's fine. I won't save you. Yes, sir. If you went on down the road of life without Jesus, without taking him as Savior, that's where you'll wind up in. That's where you'll wind up. up in. And I know this is not a good, very enticing gospel, not at all, but it's true. So he says, have mercy on me. No more mercy. No more mercy. Whenever you go out of this world without the Lord Jesus Christ, you go beyond the reach of the mercies of God, is what you do. The arm of God don't reach down there to you. The arm of God reached down to the cross of Calvary for you. That's where as far as it goes. Never go beyond the cross of Calvary for nobody. Thank God for that. Sure it is. You turn that down, that's wrong. So, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. I want you to see, I'm going to dip my finger in this glass of water right here. How much drops off of it? One drop of water. Second one never did drop off of it. I dropped that, but not the tip. I dropped 3 inches of it. That's right. That's right. What good would a drop of water do a man in this building that burn him down on him? That's right. That's what it says. Dip the tip of his finger, just the end of it. Oh, just a drop will drip off of it. Take a long time to get off of that. Oh, I'll tell you. What I got in this glass is H2O. What he wanted was the water of life. That's what he wanted. He knew about it. He wouldn't have been asking for it if he didn't know about it. You don't ever ask for something you don't know nothing about. That's simple. Sure it is. He already knew about the water of life. The Old Testament told him plenty about that. Sure it is. Oh, but he'd refused it. He'd gotten out where he couldn't get it. No good. Oh, yeah. Dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my parching tongue. Why didn't he say his burnt eyes? Why didn't he say his toes is hurting him? Why did he say his tongue? That's right. That's what it says here. Oh, I'll tell you right now. If I didn't have a tongue in my mouth, I wouldn't be nothing but making a mumbling noise up here. I doubt whether I'd make that. The tongue is what you use to let people know that you know the Lord. That the tongue is what you use to tell you about. That's right. You turn to Romans. Romans 10 and 8. Yes. Just 1 second. Let's just turn to it. My memory's slipping. Romans 10 and 8. With the mouth, with this word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. What's in your mouth? Your tongue. Well, the tongue in your mouth wouldn't do you much good, would it? Sure wouldn't. And in thy heart, that the word of faith which we preach. Now, God has made it just as close to you as he possibly knows how. He's put it even in your mouth and in your heart. Yes, will you take it? Will you take it? Well, the next verse says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, that's what I'm doing here tonight, is talking to you in my mouth. This is Romans 10 and 9, is what I'm reading from. The Lord Jesus shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Now the difference in these two people, one of them was saved and the other was lost. That's all the difference in them. They're dead now. One being rich and the other poor, and it's all over now. It's all over. Yeah. They're both dead. They're both passed into another scene. That's right. Yeah. So we find that the tongue is one of the most useful members we have. You can sit down with your tongue and do a whole lot more damage than you can with your feet or your hands, either one. Now let's turn back over to James Gospel, James Epistle. And we'll find a little about the tongue here. I read this over and over many a time. And I couldn't find out why he brought out the tongue. Why he brought out the tongue. Oh. I'll read quite a few little verses, beginning with verse 5. Even so the tongue is a little member, and bestoweth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. We got hell mentioned right here.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So every kind of beast, and of birds, and serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Oh, now you see what happened. You see the very thing that was tormenting him the most. That which he failed to use for God. What are you using your tongue for tonight? What are you using? Yes. Oh, I'll tell you, one of the greatest things that I regret in life, that I didn't use my tongue for the Lord long before it is. Long before it is. So you might wonder why a man my age would stand up here and try to preach the gospel as hard as I did. Because thank God I'm trying to do a little bit more of what he left me here. Oh, yes, I'll tell you now. There ain't nothing like being saved. I'll tell you that, sure is. There ain't nothing like being saved. No, sir. And nothing like being lost either. Now, you never get lost. You're lost to start with. Always remember that. Nobody gets lost. Oh, no. You hear people say, well, if I get lost, oh, no, you're lost to start with. You're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Right. Right. Now we'll go back over again. I could talk the rest of the night on the tongue, I guess. But I suppose some of y'all know as much about that as I do. Sure do. What is your tongue doing for you? You see that it can do anything they want to for you. Is your tongue praising the Lord? Are you telling the Lord how many good things he's done for you? Do you know the Lord is Savior? That's the thing. Now, I'm not speaking to you on moral character here tonight. As far as we know, this rich man had as good a moral character as Lazarus had. That's right. There's not a word in the world said about the man's morality. All of it. So it isn't that that sends you to hell. Oh, no, you don't do something to send you to hell. Oh, people get the idea, I got to do something. It's what you don't do sends you to hell. That's right. The difference between heaven and hell is not how good I've been or how bad you've been or vice versa. Not at all. My good and the badness don't send me to hell or take me to heaven. Neither one. If being bad send me to hell, being good and take me to heaven, wouldn't you? Don't work that way. Don't work that way. Well, what does take you to heaven? Jesus. The difference between heaven and hell, as I so often count on them bars up there in the jail, the difference between heaven is hell, and I skip one and say over here, is Jesus in the middle. Jesus is the difference. If you've got him, you're saved. If you haven't got him, I've made this statement over and over. Makes no difference how good you've been, how well you've been, how well you've acted, and you die. All the angels in heaven can't pull you in. You sure can. But if you've got Jesus as Savior, make no difference about your past life. All the devils in hell can't keep you out. That's right. Can't keep you out. Knowing Jesus, that's the difference between these two people. Now we must go on. That clock's turning around here. So, Abraham said, "Son, remember." We don't have any record of him ever talking to Abraham before, do we? No. But he knew Abraham, didn't he? Sure did. Abraham didn't seem to be no stranger to him. He knew all about Abraham. There's a lot of people who knows all about Jesus. Sure do. But they don't know him as Savior. I'm not talking about knowing about Jesus. I'm talking about knowing Jesus. And so, y'all have to excuse me. It's a little hard for me to keep up. Remember in thy lifetime, remember thou in thy lifetime receive thy good things. Likewise, Lazarus the evil. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Now you've got mentioned in what I read here, torment three times. God wanted to be sure that you understand torment. He wants you to understand what suffering means. He wants you to understand what it means to go out of this world without Jesus, is what he wants you to know. He wants to impress upon you that it's a reality. It's not a myth, not at all. Oh, no. Now, but he is comforted that the thing has changed. Now, as he was laying at that man's gate full of sores, and the dogs come along licking his sores, it wasn't very comfortable, was it? Sure wasn't. Sure wasn't. Not at all. That man was living in rich and ease, as I said a moment ago. As far as I know, he never got any of them crumbs that fell from the table. He didn't care for them. But all he thinks about him now, it's too late. Too late. Now he says this. Here's where the difference comes in. Oh, he said, besides all else, this was a conversation between them. I want to stop right here and pause and say this. This man had all the five senses. He had his memory, his feeling, his hearing, his seeing, all of them. But he didn't have his body. Now, our dear brother London Deans was right here 2 years ago, I believe it was. We had this portion here. Was it last year or year before last, Brother Dean? We had the 16th of Luke. You gave it out. And you brought out one thing, thank God for. For a long, long time, I've been wondering how that he felt these things. How then? And this dear brother brought out that he was out of the body, but had all the feelings of the body. Now, let me give you an illustration, which is very true. I had a man one time, back several years ago, come to me with his one arm off right at his shoulder and asked me for a job running a bulldozer. I looked at him, I said, "Say, brother, a man with two good arms can't hardly run one suit me, let alone a man with one arm." Well, he said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. If you give me a trial, if I ain't good enough, you don't owe me nothing." That's the old story. I said, "No, no." Well, one another fellow come to me and said, "Mr. John, you ought to give that man a trial. That fellow can really run a bulldozer." And said, "We might could use him over on such and such a job." Well, it was sort of rough work. So I sent for him to come in the next morning, so, and he did. Well, he run for me a pretty good little bit, fooled you. He could do just about as good as the average fellow with two good hands. But every once in a while, he would get off, or wouldn't come in. I'd feed his old drunk or something else, you know. So one day, he come to me and just was crying and feeling bad. And he said, I got to get off and go home. My arm is just killing me. It's just killing me. I said, "Well, did you hurt it or something other? What's the matter, Tommy?" Oh, he said, "No, it's not that." And he said, "Oh." I said, "Oh." "Yeah." I said, "Oh." I said, "Well, you haven't got no arm there, fella." He said, "I can't have it. I can feel my fingers." He said, "It's just hurting." He said, "I have to go home and do it." And I said, "There you are. There you are. Yes, sir. He could still feel it. This man down in hell didn't have any legs. He didn't have any arms. He didn't have it. He had his tongue, didn't have it. But he felt everything on it. That's right. That's right. So, Brother Joe Sanford sitting right here in this audience here somewhere tonight, somewhere or another. But anyway, yeah, there he is. I thought he was asleep, but he wasn't. Many years ago, we went to St. Louis. First time he'd ever been to St. Louis. Him and my brother and I, we went up there. We sat down at the supper table. You remember down at the old Wagner place? They eat right under it like they do here. And he sat down with Brother C.H. Brown and another brother. I don't know who the brother was. Whatever gave him this idea, I don't know. He didn't know Brother Brown and Brother Bloom. But he just said to him, Brother, what body will a sinner have in hell? Brother Brown quickly said, the body is in there. Joe said, well, that body will burn up. Brother Brown said, the bush behind Nod didn't burn up. The three Hebrew children didn't burn up. The man in hell didn't burn up. That's right. Poor Joe. He looked at me and said, have you ever thought about that? I said, I never did ask that question. Right. You're going to have a body in hell that you got right here. Do I want this old crippled up body any longer? No, I'll tell you what, if the Lord comes tonight, be all right with me. That's right. Can't hardly stand up here. Your feet hurt you, your knees hurt you, your back hurt you, your neck hurts you everywhere. You want this? That's what you'll have. I see a man I used to work for, he was all drawn over, couldn't hardly stoop and all that, then walked around on the job, and I talked to him about the Lord Jesus. He said, you serve your God because you're afraid of him. That's right. I said, well, how are you going to serve yours? In a few years, he was gone. Where he's at, I don't know. But I sure wouldn't want to be in his body, nor in his place either. What's the trouble? Why didn't he say to me, oh, John, I know Jesus. I won't be in this body long. I'll have a new one. Oh, I didn't say that. I'm going to tell you all tonight. I'm not going to be in this one much longer. Y'all ain't going to be seeing me here as long as you have seen this. No, ain't because the Lord will have to come tonight. I have a new body. Oh, yes. Won't be no tongue burning either. Won't be no tongue burning. Now we get down here, he says, can't keep up which page you're on. And besides, now he told them all besides, he says, besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us which would come from thither. Now I want to say to you, there's been some question about this fix. For you sitting here tonight, not saved, it's not fixed. Or it ain't. But whenever you go out of this world, it's fixed. Saved or lost, it's fixed. Right. Whenever you go out of this world, it's fixed right there. Never be changed. Never be changed. How's it going to be fixed? That's the question. That's right. You don't change it. Oh, no. How sad it is. How sad it is. People talk about praying folks out of some place. Oh, no. Oh, no. Whenever you leave here, his dear Brother C.H. Brown said to me once, we was talking along these lines, and he said, Brother Lloyd, I want to tell you, Scripture says, as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. Death overtakes you tonight, where are you going to be? When your breath leaves your body, that's fixed for an eternity. It's fixed for an eternity. That's what death does to you. It fixes your destiny. It fixes it. No wonder I would look over into a casket and think, where is he or she? That's right. Where is he or she? They'll leave the body and see that. That's right. They looked over in yours. Tonight or tomorrow, where would you be? Where would you be? I must go on. Then he said, he keeps propositioning, don't he? Trying to do something else. But he finds out now that he's there for all eternity. There's no hope to get out. Whenever he told him it was fixed, he realized it's fixed. Now, he'd been there, I don't know how long, just a minute or two, or maybe a year or two. I don't know how long. But he found out he wasn't going to get out. And I want to tell you, you'll find that out, too. But now, he starts something else. He's given up hope of ever getting out. Think of that. I can clearly say to these men in the jail, it ain't worth time to let you out of here. But if you go out of this world without Jesus, you'll go where time won't let you out. There ain't no time. You can't think apart from time. Neither can I. No. Time and distance are two things you can't think apart of. But neither one of them exists in eternity. But you will. You're going to exist in eternity. Your soul is. You are too. Mine's going to be with the Lord. What a glorious thing it will be. Pleasures at the right hand of God forevermore. Boy, am I got something to look forward to. That can be yours tonight for the having. I read an article here just the other week, and I sure did enjoy it. God has got nothing for sale. Everything's a gift. Think of that. God's got nothing for sale. Everything's a gift. He wants to give to you tonight everlasting life. Throw this man, I got the curve. Throw this man, he turns down. He finds out he can't get out, so he don't want nobody to come down there. Throw, he says to him, verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, now Lazarus, to my father's house. He had five brothers back then. Send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they come unto this place of torment. Oh, he wants to go back now and tell his five brothers. I want to tell you, his five brothers had Moses and the law. They had Moses and the prophets, what I meant to say. They had that. They had, it was all necessary that they needed. They sure did. But they were going to do just like he did. Were they going to receive it or not? That's right. Everybody in this room has the same equal opportunity tonight. We talk about equal opportunity all this country to take Jesus to save you. It's without money and without price. It don't cost you one thing in the world. If I said, if you come up here and give me a dollar, you can take Jesus and save me. A lot of people said, they haven't got a dollar. Spent a lot of time, they didn't have a dollar. Sure have. Oh, no, it's without money and without price. Come, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I, that's the Lord Jesus, will, yes, give you rest. Oh, he won't send somebody to dispense it to you. He'll give it to you himself. Come to Jesus. Don't do like I did. Don't put it off. Oh, no, don't put it off. As I said to a banker, one time I went into a little place. He owned the bank and had a note over a fellow. I want to get this note handled. I needed the money. And so he said, well, I will just come over here and put your name on the back of it. That's what they always say, you know. And as he was going out of this little pig pen place there, just to make conversation with him, I said, well, I believe this man's got good intentions. He looked me right straight in the eye and said, son, remember, hell's going to be paved with good intentions. Nobody intends to go to hell. They intend to take Jesus. They intend to change. Oh, so often they tell me, I'm going to change when I get out. Oh, yes. But you find them right back there the next week, so if they get out, they don't change. Oh, no. I'll tell you, it's not a change. It's turning to Jesus. Turn to him. So he said, and Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. That's right. I want to tell you right now, every man, woman, and child. I'll take America, for instance. They're responsible to God to take Jesus as Savior because they've got the Word of God in this land. They've got this Word of God in this land. No, I haven't. They'll be without excuse. Oh, and think about a born girl been raised in a Christian home where the Bible is read daily, prayer is heard, thanks is given at the table, and have made visited meetings like this, and on and so on. Oh, yes. Oh, don't turn Jesus down. Don't turn him down. So, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Scripture says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. We find that over and over, especially in Revelation. And he said, no, Father, or nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. I'll read that over again. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. What is repentance? Repentance is turning around the roadway of life. That's all it is. You're born with your back to God. And unless you turn around, you'll land right in hell. That's where it'll lead you. You have to turn to God. My back's to this wall right here. But if I see what's on this wall, I got to turn around. Sure. That's what repentance is, in the roadway of life. Everybody in this room tonight's in the roadway of life. You're going down the road of life. Sure. They'll repent. And now, we find that repentance is one thing that God requires our soul to be saved. They're sitting back there in the back row here, dear brother, that preached on the two commandments of God. One of them was commanded men all everywhere to repent. That's right. And he commanded men to believe. Got to another brother come to me and said, Brother John, what do you think about them commandments? Well, I tell you right now, that's two I'm going to keep. Sure, two I'm going to keep. Are you keeping them? God commands you to repent. Now he says they'll repent. They'll repent. Well, now what's the last part of it? And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. What's the difference of being persuaded and repenting? Ain't much different. Both of them turned around in. Sure is. Be persuaded. That's exactly what I'm trying to do here to you tonight, is persuade you to take Jesus. Now, when this was wrote, the Lord Jesus had not been to the cross of Calvary, had not been there and shed his precious blood, and not been buried in the tomb, and had not rose the third day. Now there's a man rose from the dead, speaking to you right here in this precious word. And through the Spirit of God, that little quiet, still voice is speaking to your heart and soul. Yes, it comes from the power of the Spirit of God to you. There is a man that's been to the dead, rose from the dead, and said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I look for that little hymn today in the softly and tenderly Jesus is calling. We sing that so much in jail. Number 13. That's not on that book. It's softly and tenderly. I want to tell you tonight, he's calling you. Calling you, come to him. Come to him. Oh, yes. So he said, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded. No, if you will not believe the word of God, you will not be saved. The only sin that I know of that you can commit that's no forgiveness for is unbelief. There is no forgiveness for unbelief. That's right. God does not forgive unbelief. You have to believe to be saved. Have to believe to be saved. Yes. That's what I said a few moments ago. As the Philippian jailer said to Paul and Silas,
in the 16th chapter of Acts, as we all know it so well. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? There might be some right in here tonight would say, I don't want to go down out of that fire. I want to do like you did. I don't want to miss that hell. I don't want to spend an eternity in that place where there's no hope, no hope to ever recover. Time doesn't spend 1 second. That man had been there 1 second as far as time. What must I do to avoid that? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. How simple that is. How simple that is. One of the most easiest things in the world to do is to be saved. And one of the most easiest things in the world to do is be lost. You're already lost. Sure is. Nothing to do. Oh, you say, that sounds too easy, preacher. That sounds too easy. I've heard that told to me more times than one. I can't help it. If you fail to do it, you'll find out different. Find out different. They'll be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ is seeking to persuade you tonight. And so am I. And so is other dear praying men and women in this room to come to Jesus if there be one here that doesn't know him. May we sing number 30. Number 30. Let me see how many verses. Wait a minute. Sing number 1, 3, and 4. Number 30. Someone start it for us.
Weeping will not save me, though my faith were vain in death, that could not abate my sin, could not part us in the gear. Amen.
is to make me free. He alone can save me. I'll say in closing tonight, oh, if you're here without Jesus, he can make you free. Free from the law of sin and fit for the presence of a holy and a righteous God. And I know your imagination cannot reach that, neither can mine.